Welcome to 9 to 5 Mac Daily for Thursday, January 30th, 2020. I'm Chance Miller. We are sponsored this week by Mac Stadium. Apple has been ordered to pay nearly $1 billion in damages for infringing upon patents held by the California Institute of Technology. A jury in California decided that Apple is responsible for $838 million, while Broadcom is responsible for $270 million. The lawsuit was first filed in 2016, with Caltech saying that Wi-Fi chips made by Broadcom and used in Apple products infringed on its patents. The lawsuit cited all of Apple's products, including iPhone, Apple Watch, and Mac, as well as even the outdated and no longer made airport routers. Apple, of course, denied infringing on the patents and argued that any damages should be minimal. Ultimately, the jury sided with Caltech's argument that the patented technologies were key to keeping Apple competitive in the cell phone market. The three patents at the heart of this case related to Wi-Fi performance and balancing Wi-Fi speed with factors like heat, power, and chip size. So how exactly did the jury come to the massive $838 million figure? Caltech lawyer William Price said that the number was based on Apple's sales of over 598 million infringing devices in the United States since 2010. From there, that number was multiplied by a hypothetical royalty negotiation that should have occurred in 2010 of $1.40 per device. Apple has already said that it plans to appeal this verdict, so while it's currently on the hook for nearly $1 billion, that could change in the future depending on the eventual outcome of the appeal. In other news, we've got a pair of Apple TV Plus stories today. Apple has reached another exclusive deal for a prominent producer. Carmi Zaltnik has signed an exclusive production deal with Apple TV Plus just days after he stepped down from his position at Starz. Zaltnik oversaw the development and production of numerous TV shows during his 10 years at Starz, including Outlander, Power, and American Gods. And prior to his time at Starz, he was a production executive at HBO, where he helped lead development on shows including Curb Your Enthusiasm, The Sopranos, and The Wire. Apple's deal with Zaltnik comes just a few weeks after former HBO boss Richard Plepler officially inked an exclusive 5-year production agreement with Apple, so it's clear Apple is making some notable movements on the content side of things, but there's also stuff happening on the infrastructure side. The Wall Street Journal reports that Apple has poached a top Netflix engineer as part of its efforts to build the back end behind services like Apple TV+, iCloud, and Apple Music. Apple is reportedly working on scaling these services to account for more active users, something that even services like Disney Plus struggled with when it first launched. You can find the full Wall Street Journal report in the show notes below. We are sponsored this week by Mac Stadium, provider of Apple Mac infrastructure as a service. As anyone creating apps for Mac or iOS knows, Apple requires you to build with macOS on authentic Mac hardware. Unfortunately, this leaves many dev teams working with their own hardware in-house, Mac Pros in a closet or a stack of Mac Minis under a desk. Mac Stadium has solved this problem by making Mac private clouds available in enterprise-grade data centers around the world. They're like AWS, Azure, or GCP, but for Mac hardware. Mac Stadium also recently debuted Orca, a new virtualization layer that lets developers integrate with standard tools like Docker to create and manage Mac clouds. And for 9 to 5 Mac daily listeners, Mac Stadium is offering 50% off the first 2 months of a Mac Mini subscription with code 9to5Mac at the link in the show notes below. My thanks to Mac Stadium for their support of 9 to 5 Mac daily. A new report from reliable Apple analyst Ming-Chi Kuo this week outlines what we can expect from Apple during the first half of 2020. Kuo reiterates that we should expect the iPhone SE 2, new iPad Pros, and new MacBooks with scissor switch keyboards. But most notably, Kuo says to expect a smaller wireless charging mat from Apple, ultra-wideband item trackers, and high-end Bluetooth headphones. Towards the end of 2019, rumors about an ultra-wideband-powered Apple Tag started to pop up, originating from 9to5Mac code findings. The device would compete with the popular Tile item trackers, allowing Apple users to attach physical tags to items like keys and wallets and easily locate them via the Find My app on their Apple devices. The biggest question has always been when Apple planned to release these item trackers. But now, Kuo thinks that these item trackers could be released as soon as the first half of 2020, based on supply chain indications. Kuo has been floating the idea of Apple-branded over-ear headphones as far back as early 2018. These would offer AirPod conveniences like the H1 chip and easy connectivity to Apple devices, but they would come in an over-ear form factor rather than earbuds. What remains unknown is how these over-ear headphones will be differentiated from things like Beats Solo Pro, which also offer AirPod conveniences, but under the Beats brand rather than under Apple's name. And last but not least, Kuo mysteriously predicts that Apple will release a smaller wireless charging mat during the first half of the year. After failing to successfully release AirPower, it seems Apple is trying its luck again. AirPower would have let users charge up to 3 devices at a time, including AirPods, iPhone, and Apple Watch. But Apple was infamously forced to cancel development on the AirPower project due to struggles maintaining its quality standards. Kuo's report leaves a lot to the imagination. He doesn't elaborate on the specifications of this smaller charging mat, nor does he give a reference point as to what exactly smaller means. But presumably, Apple is working on an accessory that is actually achievable this time. One possibility is that it would be a charging mat that works with iPhone, Apple Watch, and AirPods, just not all at once. Currently, most Qi-enabled wireless chargers don't work with Apple Watch. This would be an easy way for Apple to set itself apart from the numerous other wireless chargers already on the market. Even if there's a lot we still don't know, if Kuo's report comes true, there is quite a bit to expect from Apple during the first half of 2020 alone. Other things new on 9to5Mac today include a look at the 117 new emoji that will come to iPhone, iPad, and Mac later this year. We've also got an in-depth look at the new version of Fantastical, which streamlines things across iPhone, iPad, Apple Watch, and Mac. You can find both of those stories at the links in the show notes below. That wraps up another episode of 9to5Mac Daily. As always, you can read all of the latest Apple news on 9to5Mac.com. Follow me on Twitter at Chance H. Miller, and be sure to come back tomorrow for a new episode of 9to5Mac Daily.